You know, and when you have a tornado during a prayer meeting coming right from my house, the tornado sirens going off, we see it. It says on the TV as we're watching the tornado, it's coming right from my house. And in Sparta, Missouri.
Yeah.
And the ladies in the prayer meeting, shouldn't we take cover, Cheryl? The sirens are going off. We see it. The tornado. I said, no. I said, we're not taking cover. We're taking authority.
God promises in Joel 2:28 to pour out His Spirit on all humanity. Welcome to Global Outpouring, where we contend for that promise outpouring. We equip for that outpouring so that we may engage in that very outpouring. I'm Philip Buss.
And I'm Sharon Buss. Welcome to the podcast today. We have with us again our dear friend Cheryl Simpers, and she's going to share more and more miracles of the outpourings that she has seen in the nations and lots of things that the Lord has spoken to her. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're just delighted that you're with us. And we want to encourage you, if you haven't already done so, that you go to our website, globaloutpouring.net, and make sure that you've subscribed to our email lists so that we can stay in touch with you. And we want to encourage you, if you haven't already done so, that you could download our app, the Global Outpouring ETH app, so that you can see what all the wonderful things that we have there. It's so much easier than going to the website, but pretty much the stuff on the website is there. You can read the blogs, you can go to the store, you can give, you can just all kinds of things. The podcasts are all there. So go ahead and go to your favorite app store and download the Global Outpouring ETH app. Well, Cheryl Simpers, thank you so much for joining us again on this wonderful podcast. We're just going to have a glory time like we did Amen. The last time. And I just want to encourage you to share with us things that the Holy Spirit has been doing. You've been seeing Him working in His power. You've been seeing Him doing things. He's spoken through you many things. You've seen lots of visions. And so many of the things are on airplanes.
Yes.
Tell us about the lady that you spoke with when you were on your way to Israel after October 7th, 2023.
Yes. So there was a young gal, 15 years old, on the seat next to me. And then next to her was a Jewish woman who told me that she was coming back from Tel Aviv. Her daughter had a baby in Newark.
New Jersey. Right?
New Jersey. Yeah. And but 2 weeks before in Israel, in Tel Aviv, another child had a baby. So wow. She went from one to the other, but I could just
being
see.
Being grandma, being soft.
Yes. And she was very much a family. You could tell she was a family mama. But I could see this dark grief on her, this worry and anxiety. It was like a cloud almost.
Well, everybody in the whole nation went through that after that massacre.
Yes. Yeah. And so she was grieving. I start sharing Jesus' stories, but don't tell her right away that I'm praying in the name of Jesus. So I shared the one about, I just had the last podcast and shared about the woman that got a brand new heart supernaturally from God so she could have a baby. So I'm sharing these with this woman and she said, are you praying the Psalms? And I said, yes, I pray Psalms. I pray the word of God. But, and I shared the verse in Psalm 107, verse 20, I believe it is, that says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions.
Yes.
I shared that verse, and she seemed to know what I was talking about. And so then I said, but sometimes, I will tell you this, you got to speak to the mountains. And I said, in our scriptures in Christianity, I said, in Mark 11, 22 to 24, I was sharing that how it says, speak to the mountains.
Right.
Have faith in God. Speak to the mountains. If you speak to those mountains and call them to be removed into the sea and you have faith, it's going to happen. Anyway, so I'm telling her, I've learned in praying for people many times, you have to speak to the mountains. You got to command the mountains.
Yeah.
And so she's listening. She kept leaning over and asking me questions. So then I make it very clear I'm praying in the name of Jesus over these miracles. That's how these miracles came, by the word of God, which Jesus is the word, and by His name. And so she's listening, So then I asked her, I said, is there something you want me to pray for you? And she said, I have a terrific stomach ache. Mm-hmm. And I know it was the stress, the anxiety that I could see on her. Mm-hmm. And so she said she hadn't been able to eat or drink. Mm. Oh. And so I didn't lay hands on her. I didn't reach over that girl and lay hands on this woman. Instead, I faced—
And you didn't speak out loud, right?
No, I didn't speak out loud. I just faced forward and I started praying in the spirit quietly. And I said, Jesus, show her that you are her healer, her savior. And right after I prayed that, she leans forward and she said, did you just pray for me? And I said, yes. And she said, that thing just left.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
God wants to show himself. Jesus wants to show himself.
Yes.
Wow. He is the healer.
Yes.
I remember another flight, and I believe it was the one on the way to Thailand. And there was a man sitting next to me. I start sharing him with those stories and that one about the God giving a brand new heart supernaturally. And he's like, wow. And I said, is there something I can pray for? And I make it clear, I'm praying in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he tells me he's Muslim. And he was on his way to Nepal. Mm. And I said, is there something I can pray for you? He said, I'm Muslim. No, I'm good. You know, and so, and then he goes, wait a minute, you can pray for me. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm a chain smoker.
Oh,
my flight from Chicago to Nepal, he said, it's 13 hours straight. I can't have a cigarette for 13 hours.
Wow.
He said, I am stressing out about this.
Wow.
And I said, Jesus can handle that. And so I prayed for him right then.
Yeah.
Put my hand on his shoulder and just started speaking over him to be free of the need to smoke a cigarette.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. I said, in the name of Jesus. And I could feel the anointing. I feel it right now. And I believe someday I'm going to find out when I get to heaven mm-hmm. all these things
yes.
that came to pass
yes.
in yeah. praying.
Right.
So wow. I love it. And yeah. then there was one gal, and this was in a Roma village in Serbia. And we were doing medical missions and then prayer teams. And so they would go to the medical team first and then be sent to the prayer tables. And, you know, our medical doctors, they don't have much time. They don't have the equipment.
Yeah.
So, and they pray for people as well.
Absolutely.
But our doctor from the United States, she sent a woman to us to pray for. And we had two prayer teams there. And it was in a Roma church. And she said, Cheryl, I just knew when I sent this woman over, she was going to get healed. Well, I didn't know any of that till 2 days later.
Wow.
But when she came to us, this woman had such problem breathing.
Hmm.
And she had asthma, COPD, wow. and something else. I don't even remember.
Sheesh.
And she was struggling to breathe. Well, so we're under the anointing, the healing power of God, and there were three of us, and one woman with us, she had never done this before. And she was 79 years old.
Wow.
And we were telling her, okay, you're going to take the lead and pray for some of these people.
Oh.
So wow. I don't even know who took the lead on this woman. It doesn't matter. It was God taking the lead through
Absolutely.
Any one of us, but sure. she was learning.
Yeah.
So anyway, I remember praying for this woman, though, and commanding her lungs to be free. And commanding the asthma to go and the COPD. And there was something else with the lungs, but I can't remember what it was. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You know, then they leave. And I find out 2 days later, she was completely healed.
Thank wow. you, Jesus.
She came back to be retested and she had no problem breathing.
Hallelujah.
Wow, glory to God.
Yes.
Yeah. Glory to God.
And that'll spread.
Yes, and there was a woman in Ethiopia that came to be prayed for healing, and I don't even know if she had asked for prayer for her lungs. There was a lot of people that smoke there and so have lung issues. Well, I don't think it was even on the card, but when I laid my hand on her back because she needed healing in her back, and I could feel the healing anointing, and my hand's on her back, and all of a sudden I feel pop, pop, pop.
Wow.
And then, I love that.
I have my hand over her, where her lungs are on the back, and I feel this congestion. So I'm praying in the spirit over that.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't even on the thing, but I'm praying over the, and all of a sudden, There was no more congestion.
Wow.
There was nothing.
Wow.
Praise the Lord.
You can feel that rattliness.
Yes, I could feel
from
it.
From the outside, yeah.
Yes.
And then it was gone.
And then it was gone.
Wow.
And one guy came in and I just started weeping in the spirit. And he started weeping in the spirit. We're just both crying.
Wow.
I don't even know why I'm just praying in the spirit, but I'm weeping in the spirit for him. And he's just weeping. I don't know what, if he had a heart wound or something, but.
Weep with those that weep.
Yes. And when the Holy Spirit was done, it was like this light of the Lord Jesus just on him. Like something had been lifted off of him, and he just put his arms around me and hugged me really tight.
Wow.
You know, it's some of those things that...
And you won't know until you get to eternity what happened.
Yeah. He's given me such a love for the people in these nations.
Hmm.
But there's something about Ethiopia that just... The first time I went to Ethiopia 3 years before, so 3 years ago, God often gives me the vision of a nation I'm... Got my feet planted on the land.
Mm-hmm.
And in Ethiopia, the first time I went, all I saw was darkness over Ethiopia. Mm. But yeah. I saw Jesus above the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw, as we were speaking the word to people, as we were praying, interceding, I saw the light penetrating those dark clouds, that darkness. And this time, God gave me a vision of Ethiopia. I didn't see any darkness. I saw Jesus over Ethiopia, and he is moving his arm over all of Ethiopia. And as he's moving his arm, I see this fire of his glory coming down across all of Ethiopia. And I saw it going across the whole thing, the fire of God.
Wow, wow.
Praise be to the Lord.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Amen.
And, oh man, I'm telling you, there were some mighty prayer warriors on that mission trip from Ethiopia. They knew how to war. They knew how to pray in the spirit. Oh my goodness, power.
Contending for the outpouring.
They were contending.
That's what they do,
yeah.
What we do. So I remember you telling us about some visions that you've had over, you've been to so many places. How many nations have you been to?
I'm getting ready to do my 29th, but some of them I've been to several times.
Yeah.
Okay, so at the Global Outpouring Conference, when we were praying in the morning over the I was touching every flag and praying in the spirit. And he, some of the nations, matter of fact, I saw China. I saw the wicked regime topple.
Glory to God. Wow. We've been praying for that for years now.
And I saw it topple.
Amen.
But then when we were praying for Pakistan, I saw Jesus fire, his glory fire, spreading all over Pakistan, the whole thing.
Wow. Glory
I saw all of Pakistan being affected.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a group of people in Pakistan and in Afghanistan that are called the Pathans. And Sister Gwen used to talk about them, our founder, used to talk about them from her experience in traveling in Pakistan. And she said that they are Muslims, but they know that they are some of the lost tribes of Israel. And they continue to use biblical names like Gad and Reuben and Levi and those kind of names that come from the Bible. But they're, you know, they're fierce warriors.
Yeah, they're warriors.
Fierce warriors. They're the ones that kept Russia out of Afghanistan.
Hmm.
They fought and didn't let Russia in. And of course, the United States didn't do very well in Afghanistan either.
Hmm.
But these people know who they came from.
Mm-hmm.
And so... You know, I'm really into, in prayer, calling those people back.
Yes.
Into what they've left behind in previous generations. Because, you know, during the Muslim conquest, which went all over the Middle East and North Africa and up into Europe and into Central Asia, during that time, and probably even still today, as they take over a place, and you know, obviously they're trying to do that in all the nations, really. That's their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
But they give people a choice to either convert or pay a heavy annual tax, or I've said it before that they would die, but I've just learned recently that the third choice is to be like you're in war, which means... You're going to be subject to war. We're going to war on you. And so you might die, or you might be imprisoned, or you might be enslaved. So those are your choices. So, you know, do you want to pay a tax for the rest of your life? A lot of people just gave in and became Muslims.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they don't know anymore where they came from.
Yeah.
I mean, the Pathans did, but these words and these visions that God has given you, yeah. God is doing things in the nations, and he sees it as done. And he's trying to give us that impartation so that we can see it as done and press into seeing it done.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember the first time going to Romania and getting invited. And I think I shared this before on one of the podcasts, but as soon as my feet got on the ground in Romania, I had a vision and I saw God move across all of Romania. But in the meeting, I was invited to come up and help lead worship, and I don't lead worship.
It's not but your God, gift,
all, if he does something like that, it's because you can see a lot when you're facing people and see
That's
their
true.
Faces.
That mm-hmm. is true.
And so there were seven of us, I think, from the United States, and then their worship team, and we're singing the same song, us in English and them in their language, and the song was about Jesus breaking every chain, breaking every chain, breaking every chain.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes. Yeah. And as we were singing this song, I saw the Holy Spirit hit the whole place.
Wow.
And he was removing chains, and people just started crying. And then we started praying for people. Well, then we went to Transnistria, Moldova, and in this church that had just been built, but still had work being done. And it was a spirit-filled church. And again, I got invited to help lead worship, and three of us from America to join their team. But again, it's to see the people's faces, and they were not getting into worship. Hmm. And so the Lord said, I want you to speak over them, break the spirit of religion off of them so they can enter into worshiping me in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
So I just obeyed the Lord. Mm-hmm. And when I spoke it, the word of his power went and hit the whole place, and everybody starts getting up and dancing.
Wow.
A line dance. They went out, outside, back in, over and over. And I went flying off that platform and joined them in the dance. I don't know how long it went on. Wow. And it's interesting that the pastor wasn't there when that happened. He came in at the end, because I don't know if it would have happened. And I'm just listening to God and obeying.
Yeah. That's the key.
You know, you just, because some of it doesn't make sense with your natural mind. Like in China, when he said, this pollution, I mean, one city was 37 million people, one was 34 million. I've never seen pollution like this. They don't have emission standards.
Yeah.
And with that many people, with all those vehicles, I mean, you'd have six lanes of going one way and six the other, and you have to cross 12 lanes of traffic.
I think when we were there, they said they'd lost like 37% of their sunlight.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
And part of it has to do with the EPA shutting things down here. And we exported our pollution over there by building the same factories there without fixing them.
Yeah. So God speaks to me at the little church next to the hotel we're staying at. And he says, I want you to take authority over the pollution.
Yes.
Command it to come down in my name. Apply my life-giving blood to the atmosphere.
Yes.
So there was a man on the team. I'd never met him before. I hadn't only been on a couple of mission trips up to that point with World Mission Alliance, and it was January 2017. And so I told him, Dr. Richard, and I said, this is what the Lord said. Will you speak and pray in agreement with me? And he said, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
So we took authority, commanded the pollution to come down in the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus. We applied the life-giving blood of Jesus to the atmosphere. We went to the other city for a couple of days. We came back right to that spot where we had spoken, and there was no pollution, blue sky.
Wow.
And the interpreter, Chinese interpreter, looked around. She goes, this is very rare in China to see no pollution and blue sky. It was the only time we saw no pollution and blue sky.
Wow.
And
the
Lord said, what you just saw me do in the natural, I'm doing in the spiritual.
Oh, glory to God.
So, and the thing is, I have an engineering degree. The biggest obstacle to me of flowing in the spirit is I was so used to my mind, you know, and seeing things with my mind, my natural mind, that it was a struggle to get past that. And I'd be crying out to the Lord to help me, get past that. And he did. Spending a year with him really helps a lot.
I would say.
You just start thinking differently.
Yes.
You know, and he took me many times into heaven. Mm-hmm. And I saw so, I mean, you know, people say, aren't you afraid going to some of these nations? I said, are you kidding me? I've had so many encounters going to heaven. I said, I can't wait to go to heaven,
right.
But I'm not going before my time.
Amen.
Because it's beautiful, stunning. I mean, everything worships the Lord.
Sure.
Everything. The water makes melody to the Lord. That's not what got to me. The beauty of, and the colors are just so vivid and alive. Everything's so alive. The thing that got to me the most, and I've shared this before, is it's his love.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You cannot go walk anywhere in heaven where you're not touched by his perfect love that touches every part of your being and gives you the greatest experience of well-being you can ever imagine. Mm-hmm. For eternity, we get this.
Yes.
Where you're just, I mean, it's so beautiful.
Mm. Wow.
That's what we have to look forward to. No, I don't have any fear of dying.
No.
But I also know my power. I know that if somebody tries to stop me, I know the power of the word of his power to be used, because he told me, he showed me.
Yeah. So tell us the testimony of what happened when the Lord picked you up and took you to North Korea.
This happened in a meeting that we were just in.
Just really recently.
Yes, it's called...
Hearing from Heaven.
Thank you. Hearing from Heaven with Hannah Brim, Billy mm-hmm. Brim's granddaughter. And it was at Grace City Church, my church in Harrison, Arkansas. And I was worshiping and I was on my knees. Next thing I know, I was slammed to the floor.
Hmm.
Well, that might have been the day before. I mean...
More than one experience.
Yes. But anyway, because he was really... The Holy Spirit was moving so powerfully. But in this encounter with the Holy Spirit, when I went down, oh yes, I had an angel on both sides of me. And Jesus was at my head. And he said, I'm preparing you. Don't move. I couldn't move. Mm-hmm. I literally felt so weighty, like I couldn't lift my head. I couldn't lift my body. And he said again, don't move. You're being prepared. And his angels were preparing me. Next thing I know, I have a white garment on.
Wow.
And the Lord said, I need your voice.
Mm.
And he took me onto the back of a white horse.
Didn't he ask you a question first?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
He said, are you willing to go anywhere I send you? And I hesitated. And I said, I believe so. I mean, I thought I already was, but I said, I believe so. And he said... Again, but stronger. Are you willing to go anywhere I send you? And I said, if you go with me, yes. And next thing I know, he's on the white horse. There's no saddle. He's on the back of this powerful white horse and pulls me up behind him. And he takes off. And I feel he's going so fast. I feel like I'm going to fall off. I'm hanging on to him. But then I had this experience where I felt like I was totally immersed in him.
Mm.
And I had no fear. And next thing I know, we are in North Korea, and he takes me into this room, and Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, is in that room. And the Lord said, I need your voice. Tell him that I am God, and I am God alone, and he is not.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to turn and repent.
Wow.
Wow, yeah.
And I spoke the word. When I have experiences like this... like when I was in Cambodia, where at that place that was trafficking young children and babies, when I spoke with the fear of God, the presence of the fear of God so strong. Anyway, same thing. He's bringing the fear of God, he told me, into these nations.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he told me he'd be bringing it, like that experience with Kim Jong-un and then with Xi Jinping in China and in Putin in Russia, he said, I'm going to be dealing with them and have been dealing with them. But now it's getting strong.
Wow.
Yes. And so when I speak what he tells me to speak, I hear it in my language, but they hear it in theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like in the Cambodian sex trafficking place, when I said, if you touch me or one of these children again, because the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah came up out of my spirit so strong, wow, the fear of the Lord filled the place. I mean, a presence of the fear of the Lord was so strong. And I said, if you touch me or one of those children, because four men came in trying to stop me. But when I roared, when they came through the door, and then all the guys came out of the rooms where they were with these young kids and even babies, I said, if you touch me or one of those children again, you're going to die immediately. Mm. And because the fear of the Lord was so strong, every one of them went on their faces. And I said, you need to cry out to Jesus,
wow,
for your lives right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Well, so the fear of the Lord was in the message to Kim Jong-un.
Yes.
Now, I was there in the spirit, so how it's appears on their end, I have no idea.
Right.
I will say this. God recently spoke to me. How could I be at a meeting? Because it was at the, it was End Time Handmaids back then, but was becoming global outpouring. Mm-hmm. I was at one of your meetings, and that's when I had the translation from Pakistan to a Bedouin camp in Israel to that sex trafficking place in Cambodia. And I was asking God, how could I be in that meeting and be in these places that you were taking, because he was picking me up and putting me into each place to minister healing. And so I said, well, so how does this work? And he said, remember, with me, there is no time,
mm-hmm,
and there's no distance.
Right.
He said, so I can do in a second of time.
Yes.
What needs to be done.
Yes. Mm.
Glory to God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But you're there in the prayer. You're there at that conference. But yeah, in a second of time, he takes me into Pakistan, then that Bedouin camp in Israel, and then Cambodia, and did these miracles
wow,
in a second of time. I mean, even with God, a second of time, it's not the same as our second of time.
Yeah. Right, right.
It's the only way I can explain what he showed me,
mm-hmm,
is
mm-hmm,
like he has no time. He can do something.
Right. He's outside of time.
He's outside of time. And yeah, I was like, wow, that just makes sense now. I just kept wondering about this.
Yeah.
You know?
Dean calls it moments.
Okay.
Because a moment isn't a literal amount of time that you can count with seconds and minutes,
yes,
and whatever. But a moment could be, I mean, it's just outside of time.
Yes.
You know, even when just we say, wait a moment.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's unclear exactly how long that's going to be.
Yes.
So.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, but I was just being, I just said, Lord, I don't need any healing, because it was a healing service going on.
Oh, okay.
And I said, I don't need healing, but I make myself available to you.
Ah.
And the next thing I know, I'm first in Pakistan in front of that guy that was missing an arm on his right arm, about halfway down his arm, no arm and no hand. And he was filthy dirty. His clothes were ripped and torn, filthy. And it looked like he had leprosy. And I just... And Jesus standing right next to me, he dropped me right there. And I put my hand over his arm and it grew back.
Glory to God.
The arm and the hand.
Glory to God.
And then Jesus picks me up again and drops me in this Bedouin camp in Israel. And they bring this little boy to me. Oh, I still remember him. He was beautiful, shiny black hair, big dark eyes, dark eyelashes, and he beautiful, but he was missing part of his lip and his cleft palate.
Mm.
And I just put my hand over his mouth. But when I put my hand over his mouth, and like when I put my hand over the guy in Pakistan over his arm, I knew it was Jesus' hand,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that was going with my hand. Praise the Lord.
Praise, yes,
the Lord. Oh, yes, man, I feel the presence of God. Glory to God. I felt his hand with my hand when I put it over that little boy's mouth, and it grew back immediately.
Wow.
And then they put a little baby wrapped in a blanket that had such a high fever. I thought, how can this baby be alive? And when they put that baby in my arms, he was immediately healed.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wow.
And
that's
then
great.
Jesus picks me up, takes me into that place in Cambodia.
Wow. So it's really not about your ability. It's
not
about
at all.
Your availability.
It's available. I said, mm-hmm, I make myself available to,
yeah,
you. What do you need?
Okay.
And so that's where he took me.
Remember what Dean Braxton says about the greeting in heaven. So most all of your conversation is always thought to thought.
It is.
And mm-hmm. and so what he said was that the greeting in heaven is, how may I serve you?
Mm-hmm.
How can I serve you? What can I do for you, really?
Yeah.
And so I believe that we are wired for service.
We are.
And we're wired to be linked to our Father and do the stuff together.
Yeah. And when Jesse Duplantis had that encounter of going to heaven, mm-hmm. he was asking where the elders, he yeah. said, where are they? And they said, well, they're out serving others.
There you go.
Yes. Because in heaven, it's so selfless.
Right.
You have the heart of God. You've got the mind of God. You've got everything. And so the worship, oh my goodness, the worship. I saw people from every tribe, tongue, and nation like John saw. Mm-hmm. And it was so spontaneous. And it blended perfectly. Every tribe, tongue, and nation, it blended like they were created for that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was outstanding. And then when I saw the orchestra and I saw instruments, and I think I've shared this before, instruments that we've never seen or heard before.
Wow.
Heard them.
Beautiful.
And they were worshiping Jesus, and there were dancers dancing around, and this beautiful flowing garments, just gorgeous, and angels all around worshiping with us. I mean, it was just, and so I remember when on those instruments that I saw and heard that haven't seen or heard here in, on earth, and when Phil Driscoll was at the Autumn Assembly with Billy Brim Ministries a couple years ago, mm-hmm. when he said, I am not a trumpet player, I am the trumpet, this magnifies my sound.
Yes.
When he said that, the Lord immediately spoke to me and said, those instruments you saw and heard in heaven that haven't been seen or heard in the earth, those are people's sounds that have not yet been released in the earth.
Wow.
Or never were.
Mm-hmm.
You're well, supposed to be.
You know, I was sharing with Cheryl as we're coming here. You know, there was a family. We were talking about the car that we got, you know, the and it came up on your Facebook page where, and this family in the Charismatic Renewal is a big Catholic family. They all got filled with the Holy Spirit. And some of them had visions of heaven. Mm-hmm. And a couple of them went to David's workshop. And I remember, you know, at the convention, this, you know, that one had the, it was a mata. It had a tambourine on top.
A mata is a rod.
Like a rod.
A staff. Mm-hmm.
Staff. And it had two tambourines on side with Hebrew writing on them, with pomegranates and all this stuff. And I thought, what a unique instrument. And it was what they saw in heaven, one of those.
Yeah.
I thought, you can make these and sell them because nobody's got one, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And yeah, they saw, I think this the Bible says that David created
a thousand instruments.
Yes. Instruments, yeah.
Yes.
So he's still doing that in heaven, apparently.
I think so.
You know, it's part of your life, part of your calling.
David's
yes. And
workshop.
You can't help but worship in heaven.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and it's so beautiful. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
So what you're seeing as you go from nation to nation is you're seeing a manifestation of heaven coming down onto earth in these miracles.
Yes. And we're seeing more and more of that. Even Billy Brim talks about this, that we're in the time where they're, I think they've always been together. We're just now, God's opening our eyes to see.
Mm-hmm.
Many angelic encounters.
Oh, yes.
I've seen many. I've seen them here. The biggest angels I saw were in Israel. Mm-hmm. And, but the angels, and, oh my goodness, one of my favorite on the mission field of the angels. So the first time I was in Ethiopia, and it was after COVID, everything opening back up. So there were only a few of us allowed to go out on the streets, and the others were praying for us because it was not safe where we were going. And there were so many homeless on the streets because they don't have what we have in America.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we're going by the Holy Spirit. You're not ministering to every single person. Mm-hmm. Who is God highlighting? So
right.
That's what we're doing. Anyway, we walked a long way, and then the interpreters took us to the street over, and we're coming back that way, back to the church we were ministering at. And it wasn't the Messianic synagogue. It was a different church, but there was nobody on that street. And so I had I don't know, 30 minutes or so to share and teach this interpreter, and I'd say he was probably in his 40s, how to take authority. So I start sharing and giving him an example, taking authority over the city, taking authority over Ethiopia, commanding God's kingdom to come and his will to be done there in the name of Jesus, and taking back what the thief has stolen. Because in going to these nations, God said, the enemy hasn't just stolen individuals' identities and destinies, but nations' identities and destinies.
Wow.
So when he's given me something over a nation, it's his destiny for that nation. So I'm speaking, and so he goes, let me do it. Let me do it, this interpreter. And he starts doing it. And all of a sudden, my spiritual eyes open, and I see all these angels in front of us, far more behind us. And as soon as we're making a declaration, they are going one right after the other to bring it to pass. So that 3 years later, I get there, you know, the first time just seeing darkness over the whole land in a vision. But now I don't see the darkness.
Yeah.
And they said, it's changed in the last few years.
Wow.
They're able to share things that they hadn't been able to share before.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So God is, you know what? He's not behind the enemy. He's above, far above all power, principality, might, and dominion.
Right.
And we're seated in him. So we're seated far above all power, principality, might, and dominion, as it says in Ephesians 1, starting about the 17th verse.
Yeah.
Talking about how exceeding great is his power toward us who believe. Right. Same power that raised Jesus from the dead.
That's what
living
gets
on
me.
The inside.
Yes.
And that's the power, the word of his power to speak over nations even and see angels coming to get to work on what was coming out of our mouths that God put in there.
Yeah. Exactly.
Amen.
It's exactly. powerful.
Yeah, it's about yielding to what's inside of you already.
Yes.
His presence is there if you've asked him to come in, especially if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, that takes you into a whole new realm of his power. And, you know, he's just looking to work through us. And one of the things that I suppose I've been hammering on for some time now, that, you know, God just wants us to become transparent and to let him deal with all of the baggage that we've gotten from our forefathers and all of the sins that we've fallen into and got hoodwinked into, got deceived into, and some of the things that we've chosen to do knowing better. You know, we've all done those things. And he's looking to work all of that out by his Spirit. And not that you, listen to me, listener, not that you have to be perfect before God will use you. Just yield. Just yield to him. But he's in a process of dealing with our stuff and getting us where we can walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh.
Amen. And that's where he's taking us to.
Yeah.
So when I saw the angels on each side of me when I went down in the Spirit at these meetings a couple of days ago, and then I found myself with a white garment. Well, we know that when you're born again, and if you're truly born again, you have a heart change.
Yes. Yeah.
If you haven't had a heart change, I would ask you to question whether you're really born again.
Yeah.
Because you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Many people are confessing that something that's not deep in their heart. And so God wants to awaken people to this.
Yes.
But when you're born again, your heart's into this now. That change can happen because we're not changed from the outside in. We're changed from the inside out by his Spirit and by his word. And so the more you're in the word, the more you're renewing your mind and you're being formed into his image.
Yes.
So the thing is, when you're born again, your spirit is perfect.
Yes.
Your flesh and your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions are not. And he's coming for a bride, a church that is without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. We already know our spirits are without spot, wrinkle, or blemish.
Right.
But he also, there's a sanctifying process and getting our soul and flesh lined up with the Spirit.
Yes.
So many people, it's your flesh and your soul are being in control, not your spirit, because you're not renewing your mind.
Right.
And, you know, the mind is part of the soul. So it has to be renewed all the time with the Word of God so that it lines up with what's in your spirit.
Right. So that your spirit and the word line up together.
Everything lines up together.
Yeah.
Even your flesh.
Right.
Yeah. So, yes. Otherwise, you're just constantly in a battle. The spirit and the flesh are always in battle, one against the other.
Right.
But I found, and I read the word a lot, and I love it.
Yes, me too.
Because he is the word.
Yeah. Yes.
And he gives me, matter of fact, many times I'm reading the word and I feel the heart of God and I'm weeping in intercession for what I'm reading and seeing that's happening all around us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
The perilous times.
Yes. And you know, it says in Psalm 103, I believe it's the 20th verse, that angels heed the voice of his word.
Exactly.
If you're not getting the word in, it's not coming out of your mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Right.
And what are you speaking? Yeah. And I remember when I went to, and I've shared this before, but this was 2.5 months after my second husband. He was killed by a drunk driver. So for the first time, I became a widow. And when I went to Indonesia, my first trip with World Mission Alliance, 2.5 months after his death, and God gave me that word, and it's so powerful, I share it all the time. And God said, don't let your circumstances determine what you say. Let what you say determine your circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so good.
Stop agreeing with the enemy and saying what he says.
Right.
Stop agreeing with Satan. Stop agreeing with the bad reports. Stop agreeing with, oh, we'll always be in debt. No. The Lord says, stop agreeing with him. Come in agreement with me. Say what I say. Say my word, and you will see a garden of Eden and no more wilderness or desert, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. He who loves it will bear the fruit of what he's speaking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he's saying, if you're not in the word, you're going to be spouting whatever you're observing, whatever you're listening to.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what you're going to be saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to bring death and curse, not life and blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you, boy, this is strong. I feel this very, very strong. The Lord is really wanting to wake people up to this.
Yes.
Many people are in the condition they are because they're not in the word and they're speaking what the rest of the world is speaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, I was talking earlier before we started this episode that I had gotten poison ivy when I had gotten married to Mike, and I had never had poison ivy before, but he had pets, cats and a dog that went into the forest next to us, and they came out, and there's poison ivy there. And I would just be hugging on these cats, these kittens, and I got poison ivy on my face, my neck, my hands, my arms. I'd never had poison ivy. Wow. And the Lord said, that's part of the curse.
Yeah.
He said, you don't have to receive that.
Amen.
So from that point forward, I started speaking to my body. You will not receive poison ivy. You will not receive an allergic reaction in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Body, you're covered in the blood of Jesus. You're a covenanted, blood-bought child of God, and you're not going to take any curse from the enemy in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And I still love on the cats, but have not been having the poison ivy.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
But we have to learn this.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and when you have a tornado during a prayer meeting coming right from my house, the tornado sirens are going off. We see it. It says on the TV as we're watching the tornado, it's coming right from my house. And in Sparta, Missouri.
Yeah.
And the ladies in the prayer meeting, shouldn't we take cover, Cheryl? The sirens are going off. We see it. The tornado said, no. I said, we're not taking cover. We're taking authority.
Yes.
I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go back from where you came from in the name of Jesus. You are not coming down my street. You're not going to touch my house in the name of Jesus. And that thing went right up, and they had it on the news seconds later. That thing just upped and moved.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
This is what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You get the word in. You get the word in. You get the word in. What's going to come out is the word of his power that we need in this hour.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow, hallelujah. That's powerful. That is powerful.
Yeah.
Would you pray for our listeners?
Yes.
Because we really need this impartation.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You desire to give this impartation. You desire to anoint people with the word of your power. I pray for a hunger and thirst for you and your word on everybody who's listening to this or will listen to it, that they will get it ignited by your spirit to get into your word, to get empowered for this day that we are in, this time, this season, before your return. And I pray an impartation over the people as they're getting hungry and thirsty for your word. They are going to operate in that word of your power like they've never seen or operated before. In the glorious, mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
We receive it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just speak on behalf of the listeners that we receive what you are giving us, that this is a gift for us to receive from your word and from your Holy Spirit, Lord, that this power will begin to operate in us like never before, like your word says, Jesus, as you were getting ready to take off for heaven from the Mount of Olives, you said you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So we receive even a fresh anointing, a fresh impartation, a fresh download from heaven as we're in this new season of the Vav, where the Vav is like a shoot that has joined earth and heaven, that we are recipients of your power. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we say yes to you, and we say yes, we want to be used. We say yes, pour out your spirit on us in the name of Jesus Christ.
And I speak a great awakening in every person that's listening. A great awakening is happening right now in your spirit. In the name of Jesus, a great awakening. He's moving by his spirit to awaken you to what you have not seen and understood or known before. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Father. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise
thank
be
you,
to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Mm.
Increase from glory to glory.
You said if you'd be lifted up, you'd pour out your spirit on all flesh.
Yes.
Our sons and daughters would prophesy.
Draw
the old men would dream dreams, the young men would have visions, and you'd pour out your spirit on the handmaidens and the servants.
Yes, Lord.
And they would prophesy.
Draw all men to yourself, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Draw all men to yourself as we lift you up.
Amen.
Yes.
And women and children.
Yes.
And we call for the youth.
Yes.
We call for them, even if they've already been defiled by life, we call for them to be refreshed and renewed. And those that have never been defiled, we just bless them to receive this fullness of power. To be led forth, even like happened during the great move of God among the Huguenots centuries ago, where even the babies were prophesying, and they were prophesying in a more mature language than what the people around them spoke, a more proper language, that they weren't speaking their own local dialect, but they were speaking in something that they would never have learned. Lord, do that. Even among our children.
Amen.
Anoint the babies, Lord. Anoint the children.
Yes.
Anoint the teens. Anoint the 20-somethings. Anoint the 30-somethings and the 40-somethings and the 50-somethings and the 60-somethings and the 70-somethings and the 80-somethings and the 90-somethings, Lord. All generations, even over 100. All generations, Lord. We're calling for this mighty outpouring of your spirit that will give people their voice.
Yes.
That will cause them to walk in the anointing where they touch people and they're healed and miracles happen. Even miracles like the Red Sea parting, when people are faced with an impossibilities. Lord, that you're going to open up possibilities where there were impossibilities only, in Jesus' name.
And we call him out of all darkness into your marvelous light.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. You are pouring out your spirit right now, your spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of their understanding are opening right now. They're opening right now. They're opening right now, that they may know what is the hope of your call on every one of their lives and your glorious inheritance in the saints. Glory to God.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Your review helps the podcasting platform suggest this podcast to other listeners who are also looking for a great move of the Holy Spirit. Check out our website at globaloutpouring.org to find out more information, read our blogs, connect with us, and donate. You can also browse our web store for life-changing anointed books. Until next time, this is Sharon Buss.
And I'm Philip Buss.
God bless you with his overwhelming, loving presence.